The following is a presentation of Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball. Mighty Muscles Baseball is on the air worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. The game is coming up, but first, it's time for Muscles Pregame Live. And here's your host, Patterson Follis.
We welcome you into the final regular season Mighty Muscles Pregame Live here at Hammond Stadium. It is the fifth and final game of this originally scheduled six-game series between the Clearwater Threshers and the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Welcome, everybody, to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. I'm Patterson Follis. John Vitas and Andrew Pauling will have the call today for first pitch. That is scheduled for 12:05, exactly 19 minutes from right now. Well, we had rainouts on Thursday and Friday due to playing conditions on the field, safety concerns for all of our players. So Thursday and Friday did not happen here at Hammond Stadium, but we did have a doubleheader yesterday that we were able to play. Muscles dropped both games of that doubleheader, and we were scheduled initially to play two again today, but the teams came together and decided it would be better off just to play a single nine-inning contest. So that's where we stand today, having only canceled one game from this originally scheduled six-game series. Temperatures are in the high 80s today, always a chance of rain as it is in Southwest Florida. We got some clouds overhead right now, providing a little bit of cloud cover, trying to keep things cool and trying to get this game in without any weather delays. Well, we will give you some playoff scenarios here at this point in Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. If the Muscles win today, and we're looking at Lakeland. Lakeland, of course, closest in the FSL West and the opponent for next week for Fort Myers. If the Muscles win today and the Flying Tigers lose, the Muscles' magic number moves from 6 to 4, meaning the Muscles would have to win just two games in Lakeland to clinch the second half FSL West title and clinch that playoff spot for 2 weeks from now. Now, if the Muscles win today and Lakeland wins today, that magic number only moves from 6 to 5, meaning the Muscles would have to win three out of six games in Lakeland to clinch. Now, if the Muscles lose today and Lakeland loses today, that magic number again goes from 6 to 5, and the Muscles again have to win three out of six in Lakeland. Worst case scenario, Muscles lose today, Lakeland wins, magic number stays at 6, the Muscles would have to win 3 games, they would clinch via the winning percentage points over the Lakeland Flying Tigers. So just a single game this afternoon, it's Matt Osterberg starting for Clearwater opposite Ross Dunn for the Muscles. Osterberg, a 15th round pick out of St. Cloud State in 2021. First appearance here in the Florida State League. First appearance overall since July 24th. He went on to the injured list. He is rehabbing from AA Reading, 3-6 on the season, a 5.49 ERA and 83 and two-thirds inning. He started 17 games. All 17 appearances were starts before going down with that injury. We'll see how long he is out there this afternoon. Ross Dunn on the mound for the Muscles, the left-hander out of Arizona State, 1-4, a 6.03 earned run average here in 2024, trying to reset after giving up 6 runs across 4 innings last week in Tampa. Dunn's fastball from the left side can touch 91-92, nearly 50% usage his last time out against the Tarpons. The cutter is that primary secondary pitch, also featuring a changeup, slider, and curve. Well, we'll take our first break here on Mighty Muscles Pregame Live, and we'll take a look at the Twins scoreboard and their minor league affiliate scores when we return on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brand, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brand's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brand.co for more information.
You may not need a lawyer today, but at some point in your life, you might. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer recognized by the Florida Bar as an expert in criminal trial law. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in DUI, criminal law, and felony case matters from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. You may not need a lawyer today, so remember his name for when you do. The Law Office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
Oh,
now time to take a look at our twin scoreboard here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. Patterson Fall is happy to bring you the action here today as we approach first pitch. And for the big league club last night, they got a dominant outing from Pablo Lopez on Friday night, but it was much more forgettable last night for the Minnesota Twins, a 15-0 loss to the Toronto Blue Jays. The game was pretty much over before it ever got started and before the Twins ever got to the bat rack. Zebby Matthews surrendered 7 runs in the top of the first inning. He only went 2 innings, allowed 10 hits, 9 earned runs, no walks. He did strike out 5 batters, however, despite getting hit around. His ERA moved from 3.00 to 7.41 on the season. The former Twin, Jose Berríos, he had 6 shutout frames, and the Twins' offense only mustered 4 hits on the night. Royce Lewis's double was the only extra base hit. Rubber game in that series is today, 2:10 Eastern time, as Bailey Ober gets the ball for the Minnesota Twins. Well, in AAA, it was a 9-1 loss to Omaha last night. They split a doubleheader on Friday. Did the St. Paul Saints. Patrick Winkle drove in the only run last night. It was a solo shot. Aaron Rosick moves to 0-5 on the year after 6 innings, surrendering 4 earned runs and striking out 7. They will go for a series victory today at 3:05 over the first place Omaha Storm Chasers. Well, AA Wichita, they got a 6-1 victory over Springfield last night at Riverfront Stadium. Every single wind surge batter had at least one base hit. They had a 5-run fifth inning highlighted by a 2-run single from Jake Rucker and a 3-run blast from Dalton Shuffield. And the former Mighty Muscle, Corey Lewis, went 5 1/3, 1 hit, no runs, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. 2:05 first pitch in Wichita. Going for that series win, Pearson Ohl gets the start for the wind surge. At the high A levels, a tough 4-3 loss to Lake County last night, but top prospects galore in that one. Kalen Culpepper hit his first high A home run. Walker Jenkins was 1-for-3 with an RBI, and Connor Prelip was absolutely filthy. 3 no-hit innings for the left-hander. He struck out 5. Colonels tied that game in the top of the ninth, but they were walked off in the bottom of the frame. They will try to earn a series split with former Muscle Ricky Castro on the hill at 1:05. Well, coming up next year on Mighty Muscles Pregame Live, Andrew Pauling had a chance to sit down with Muscles pitcher Logan Whitaker. That conversation airs next right here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Southwest Waste is proud to serve Southwest Florida. With 7 locations, Southwest Waste services customers from Marco Island to Bradenton and always puts you, the customer, and our community first. From waste hauling and disposal to recycling and site work, Southwest Waste has your constructions and demolition recycling needs covered. Our live customer service reps are ready to help. Call 239-939-5050 or visit southwestwastefl.com.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live. We're now joined by right-handed pitcher Logan Whitaker. Logan, thank you for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me on here. Really appreciate it.
Well, Logan, you were the 19th round pick this year by the Minnesota Twins. You were the first pitcher to debut from that draft class. And what's the last month or so been like for you?
It's been, you know, everything you dream of as a college kid. And this is what you strive for. And obviously, I didn't expect to be in this position this early. But I'm very blessed and humbled to be in this position right now. So,
well, you made your pro debut in the series opener. You pitched a couple of innings out of the bullpen. What were things like on Tuesday? Did you know where you were in the pecking order as far as the bullpen goes going into the game, or how'd that process go throughout the day for you?
I had an idea because me and Christian Becerra are still on a little bit of a pitch count. So we're limited as to how many innings we can throw right now. But I had an idea of what I was going to be doing, when I was going to come out of the pen, and how many innings I was going to throw. And I wasn't sure how short my leash was going to be, but you just went in there prepared and, you know, compete every day and understand that we're in playoffs and we're playing for playoffs right now. So,
yeah, well, to tell a little bit here about your backstory growing up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, what got you into baseball in the first place and what other sports did you play as a kid?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I played basketball, baseball, football, a little bit of sand volleyball here and there, because my mom was big into that. So I dabbled in a bunch of different sports growing up, and played basketball was kind of my second sport that I kept up with until high school. And then I ended up putting that down my sophomore year of high school when I found out or figured out that baseball would had a little bit more longevity with me. So I ended up pursuing baseball directly after my sophomore year of high school, and I ended up committing to the college that I went to in North Carolina State in Raleigh, North Carolina, my sophomore year of high school, and then finished up high school, had some professional attention, but knew at the end of the day, if I, you know, you don't get the amount of money that you need to survive as an 18-year-old unemployed, uneducated person, then I was going to go to school, and I love State. I mean, that's one of the places that I really wanted to go to and see, and I was very passionate about going there. My uncle went there, so my family's got some North Carolina State background. Went there and then spent 6 years at NC State and played the last three there. And yeah, that's kind of my upbringing through middle school, high school, and college.
Able to talk about your time with the Wolfpack. You were injured in your first year there, and then the pandemic happened, and then you finally got your chance the last 3 years there to show what you could do on the mound. And what was that like for you, just being able to stay consistent and to build up over those first couple of years until you finally got that shot?
It was a grind. One thing I will say is I was injured all 3 years. First year I came in, or actually it all kind of started the last half of my senior year of baseball. Elbow started giving me trouble, but nothing was, I was still going out there throwing seven innings complete, no problem. Got to college and couldn't handle the workload, so I got registered my freshman year. And then I came back and couldn't compete in fall ball, couldn't keep up with the workload again. And ended up having my first surgery that fall of my sophomore year. And then the pandemic happened, right? Mm-hmm. So the first surgery I had was an arthroscope, and it was a pretty short recovery period. It was just a cleanup of my elbow because everything looked intact, everything looked fine. Then the pandemic happened. I was slated to be back on the roster, I think on game 15, and the world shut down in game 12. So they didn't quite make it all the way back. Spent the year training, and then the following year we were back in school, obviously heavily regulated with COVID, and then got going in the fall and just kept getting hurt, kept relapsing. Found out that I needed to have Tommy John the following year. So I had TJ the following year, and I never actually tore my UCL. I just had a stress UCL. That was tough to figure out, but I guess after 8 MRIs and 8 x-rays and a bunch of bone scans and a bunch of bone fragments, you kind of start putting the pieces together. But yeah, I had surgery my junior year, and that year – NC State went to Omaha, Nebraska, and played in the College World Series, and then ended up getting had to forfeit out of that. So that was a tough watch, not being able to help those guys. And then the next year is my first year back. And then, you know, the first year we didn't make postseason. The second year we did, and ended up getting had a pretty short run of regionals, and then this past year went all the way back to Omaha. But the past 3 years in college was, you know, everything that you dream of as a college athlete. Mm-hmm. The ups, the downs, the friends that I made, the connections that I made with the coaches and everything there is something that I'll take with me into Pro Bowl.
Yeah, well, we're joined by Muscles right-hander Logan Whitaker. And, Logan, talking about the last 2 years at the college level for you, you ended up being the Friday night guy at NC State in 2013, and then in the NCAA tournament run this past spring, you were outstanding in that run to Omaha, 17 and a third innings, 23 strikeouts, and you ended your career with a career-high 10-strikeout game versus Florida in the College World Series. So could you just highlight more of that run and how you were able to empty the tank those last few outings and really leave it all on the diamond?
This past year had a lot of ups and downs, as you know, my past 3 years have. I ended up missing the entire month of April due to being sick. I had an illness that kept me down. I lost 30 pounds too, and missed 4 starts. So on my build-up, the team had done a very exceptional job of keeping the Wolfpack in the hunt for postseason. Mm-hmm. We were beating top-ranked teams across the country and the ACC, and when I came back, I wasn't 100%, but I had to build back up, and I knew if I wanted to have any chance of playing professional baseball or getting us to Omaha, which is what my first goal was, you know, let's not worry about the future. You mm-hmm. got to stay in the present here and perform as well as you can, so when the future comes around, you've done everything you can do. So my mindset was, you know, give everything you got. This may be the last time you ever play baseball. Yeah. So when I got my opportunities in the postseason, I just did the best I can to get the give the reliever a chance to win his ball game.
believe this.
Hello and welcome inside the broadcast booth, everyone. John Vitas alongside Andrew Pauling as we get ready for the series finale between the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles and the Clearwater Threshers. Well, Andrew, last night the Muscles lost both games in their doubleheader. Lakeland won both games in...
And these guys won it as bad as anyone else in the Fort Myers clubhouse. They've been here all summer long, through the heat, through the rain, through the adversity over the last few months. And they really want to punch that ticket and get those extra playoff games.
Yeah, so three of the four in their second year with the Muscles, so an experienced group. While we get ready for our 12:05 first pitch, we'll bring in Patterson Fallis, the third member of our broadcast team today. And Patterson, for the Cedar Rapids Colonels, only seven games left in the season. They will not be making the playoffs. Wichita and St. Paul going to play a little bit longer. Let's take a look at our Down on the Farm report.
Yeah, Wichita last night was the only Twins affiliate to win in their minor league system. Triple A St. Paul lost, High A Cedar Rapids lost, and of course the big league club lost as well. But 6-1 was the victory for Wichita over Springfield. All nine starters had hits in that game for the win surge. Corey Lewis, the former Mighty Muscle, went 5 1/3 innings, only allowed one hit, three walks, six strikeouts over those 5 1/3 scoreless frames. Pearson Ohl gets the ball today. 2:05 is the first pitch in that one at Riverfront Stadium. That was today's Down on the Farm report presented by Don Mario, the soybeans that are changing the game. Well, it's about time for first pitch here at Hammond Stadium as some light rain now starts to fall during our national anthem. John and Andrew have the call in just a moment. Boys, take it away.
That's right, Patterson. It looks like the rain is starting to fall here right before first pitch, the most Florida State League thing you'll see. As you see, the wind has shifted. It was blowing from right to left. Now it's blowing straight out. There is scattered rain throughout the area. It looks like we might be rolling the tarp here right at first pitch, which is something we've never seen before. The GM of the Muscles, Judd Loveland, is out chatting with the umpires. Based on what we've just seen on the radar and using our eyes here in the area, this should be short-lived. But they've got to make the decision on the tarp here. We have not heard any thunder. We have not seen any lightning.
And the Muscles are still out on the field, so it looks as though they're going to try to roll through this rather heavy-duty sun shower. And as you just said, John, what a way to end the regular season here at home. And with how things are in Southwest Florida, are we surprised? No. A little disappointed? Yes. But at the same rate, it might as well be interesting.
Brandon Winokur's jumping around, slapping his glove, trying to fire himself up. Dunn is going to keep warming up anyways. The field, though, is going to take on some water here if this doesn't stop in the next couple of minutes. I would call this a heavy rain that we are going to try and play through, it looks like, here at first pitch. How about this? Judd Loveland is as in tune with the weather as any person I've ever met. And if he doesn't feel like it's a good time to put the tarp on, then it's not a good time to put the tarp on. So the bet that they're making here is that it's going to stop pretty soon. We are already starting to see some shiny spots around Brandon Winokur at short as Dunn had that ball sail away. So this is going to be really interesting here. I guess we'll give you the lineup for Clearwater since it looks like we're going to start here. Sterling Caba, the shortstop's going to lead it off. Dante Norrie, the center fielder, bats second. Eduardo Tait in the three hole is the catcher. Devin Saltabon, the second baseman, hits cleanup. Carson DeMartini, the DH, bats fifth. Carter Matheson is in the sixth hole in right field. Cody Shoginaga bats seventh at first. Brady Day, the third baseman, hits eighth. And Avery Owusu-Asiedu rounds it out in left field. And, yeah, now most of the infield is starting to get shiny. The problem, Andrew, is that they started to water the field about 15, 20 minutes ago as part of the normal pregame routine. So that did not help matters here as it's picked up some water very quickly. The managers here have gotten together now on the third base side.
And Brian Meyer seems to be signaling, let's play on.
Yeah, we are looking now to right field. It looks like it's stopped now in the trees in right field. It's very heavy beyond the trees in left field. And the rain is lightening up a little bit. I would say it's a moderate rain now rather than heavy, but the infield now is really slick.
Yeah, that didn't take long, unfortunately.
And, yeah, they're going to have to do some maintenance if they're going to play this game under normal conditions. The only other thing that could help us here is if the sun comes out. We do have a couple of grounds crew members who have already emerged from the tunnel on the first base side with some dry dirt. So they are. It looks like they're going to come out here and do some work. It's usually a lighter grounds crew on a Sunday because it's the weekend.
The rain has already lightened up a good bit, and you do see that here in Fort Myers and in Southwest Florida where the storm can quickly move through, and now we're just down to a light drizzle.
Yeah, so they have waved the players off. My guess here is that they will not tarp the field. They will instead do some field maintenance, and hopefully the shiny parts of the infield dry out here. And this is wild. We have not had this happen this year. The only thing I can remember, Andrew, as we stall for a little time here, we had a very similar circumstance last year in Jupiter in August, a couple weeks before, you know, where we are on the calendar right now. And it was a rehabber throwing for the Hammerheads in that game, Edward Cabrera, the major leaguer. He had completed his warm-ups. The field had just the players had just taken the field for the national anthem, and it started pouring. And that lasted longer than this just did. And so that game got canceled. And the Marlins burned a major league starter who was supposed to make a rehab start. And so that was disastrous. This is much different because this is a game we have to try and play because it's the last home game at Hammond Stadium for the year. So the only option here is you either play it and complete it or it's permanently canceled, which would really hurt Lakeland even more.
And Brandon Winokur is the lone muscle still out on the field. He's on the warning track. He wants to play ball, and the muscles got soaked through that storm. They weren't taken off the field when it poured for a good 3.5 minutes. And then once it turns into a light drizzle, then the muscles get off the field. So they've got to have a little chip on their shoulder right now saying, all right, we already got soaked. Let's play.
Yeah, Ross Dunn here is kind of the victim of all this. He had completed his warm-up tosses and obviously had a couple slip out of his hand because of how hard it was raining. Now, I would say, just using my background on this field, the outfield should be okay. It's obviously going to be a little slick, but the amount, the briefness of the rain, it's going to drain just fine in the outfield. The outfield has been what's caused us problems this week. The Thursday and Friday cancellations were because of wet patches in the outfield. The infield is the concern right now. They don't have enough dry dirt to get the whole infield covered. They're going to have to pick certain spots to try and get it to dry out. So the managers are going to have to make a decision on whether they think this infield is going to dry up enough to become playable. I would argue right now it's not playable in terms of trying to keep the players safe. Now, I will say in the past 2 or 3 minutes as we've rambled on here, it has already gotten a little bit drier from what it was a couple of minutes ago. We really need some sun here to bake it a little bit, and then I think we'd be good to go. But the umpires just had a chat with the Muscles front office and the Lee County grounds crew. Now, if you're Marty Malloy for the Threshers, you have no interest in playing this game because they've already clinched a playoff spot. They prefer to save pitching. The only reason that they might want to play this game is to get Matt Osterberg his rehab outing. Otherwise, you know, this is really just elementary for the Threshers, who have 6 more games scheduled next week.
And now Brian Meyer back in the conversation with Judd Loveland and our umpire crew walking over on the left side of the screen for those of you tuned into our video feed, as they're bringing out the small tarp onto the mound. Not sure what good the tarp's going to do now.
Yeah, it's not raining.
It seems to be the backwards order of doing things.
Yeah, the drizzle has just subsided to nothing, so there's no rain at the moment.
And the infield has noticeably dried up over the last 5 minutes or so since the rain lightened up. You can already tell that it's dried up. And yeah, the back part of shortstop in the hole on the left side of the infield looks to be the worst of the bunch, and Brian is certainly getting his money's worth with the umpires right now. I think he's furious that they took the muscles off the field.
I am more concerned that he's furious that they've decided to cancel the game already. Now, the thing about the timing of this is that technically it's not the umpire's decision on when to stop the game until a pitch is thrown, and the pitch was never thrown.
Not, yeah.
So there's that whole thing to deal with as well.
I mean, the infield looks like it'll be playable in another 5 to 10 minutes as long as there isn't further rain, just based on how the sun's already drying it up.
Yeah, we are getting a little bit of hazy sun right now, which will only help. So if the umpires are going to attempt to play this game, I don't know why Brian is so upset. But my concern is that the umpires have already deemed the field unplayable and have already made the decision to cancel this game, which I think would be a very rash and premature decision.
Yeah, that would certainly be an unnecessarily quick hook. And, yeah, you can't imagine Brian's this upset over nothing.
And it's a prolonged argument, too. This umpiring crew has done a phenomenal job this week. Very few arguments, and I think most of the arguments that we have seen from the managers were brief, and we can, you know, kind of say that it was not an egregious call on those plays. So this umpiring crew's done a really good job, but Chad Lagana is wearing it right now with Brian. Judd Loveland, the GM, is on the phone, so presumably that would be an MLB official. So we're completely reading the tea leaves here. We have no official news, but my understanding, Andrew, just reading what's going on in the field, is that the umpires have already decided to cancel this game due to unplayable field conditions, and the Muscles GM and manager are trying to do everything they possibly can to change that decision.
Well, John, for probably only the first time all season, I certainly hope you're wrong. And I know that's just based on what we're seeing from up here, but that would be a worst-case scenario, and as you said, an incredibly premature hook here by the umpiring crew to not even really make an earnest attempt to let the field get playable again.
Now, the tarp crew is in position. Now, the problem is if you tarp a wet field, it's not going to dry out at all. So at this point, it would be almost pointless to tarp the field unless we get some sort of heavy rain coming, and at that point, we probably wouldn't be playing anyway. And again, yeah, the grounds crew putting the smaller tarps on doesn't make a ton of sense, but that's what's happening now at home plate. Let's take a break. We'll come on back here in a couple minutes and see what's going on.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles pregame. I'm Hannah Jo Grove, sitting down with Muscles outfielder Jaime Ferrer. Jaime, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thanks for having me.
So it's been a little over a month since you signed with the Twins after being drafted in the fourth round. How has the...
You got a group? We got a group deal. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles group ticket packages include discounts and bennies for your family, friend group, church, team, or business. Call 239-768-4210 and find out how you can reserve a suite or terrace and enjoy the game in style with special catering options. Have your own personal bartender and order custom entrees at our covered terraces or reserve an air-conditioned suite. Call the Mighty Muscles business office today at 239-768-4210.
Academy Charter School, the first Greek immersion charter school in the United States, is now in Fort Myers and open for enrollment for the upcoming school year. Athenian Academy is a tuition-free public school offering kindergarten through eighth grade with a brand new state-of-the-art building. Their certified teachers create excellence in education through a motivating, focused academic and language approach that includes Greek and Spanish taught daily. Located on Three Oaks Parkway, just south of San Carlos Boulevard, Athenian Academy Charter School. Come experience the difference.
You got a group? We got a group deal. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles group ticket packages include discounts and bennies for your family, friend group, church, team, or business. Call 239-768-4210 and find out how you can reserve a...
John Vitas welcoming you back live here to Hammond Stadium. Hopefully we can get our high home camera up here so we can get a good shot of the infield that is currently drying out. The decision has been made to cancel this game. The umpires just waved it off. Hopefully MLB can take a nice snapshot of how the infield looks right now. It is actively drying out, and I don't understand the move because the rule that's just, 100-plus years old is that the umpires do not have the discretion to cancel a game until after a pitch is officially thrown. So to me, they have broken the rules here, probably in a selfish attempt to get Sunday off and go to their next destination and maybe enjoy an evening on the beach. Clearly, Brian Meyer was upset. Clearly, General Manager Judd Loveland made at least one phone call to try and overturn this very rash, premature, and egregious decision. So this series is over. The Muscles' home schedule is over. If the Muscles don't make the playoffs, this will be the sour taste in the mouth of the fans for the next 7 months. So a horrendous decision by the umpires to cancel this game. There may be other powers at hand that we're not aware of. The biggest loser in this, other than the Muscles fans, is the Lakeland Flying Tigers, who have one less opportunity now to catch the Muscles in the standings. Brian Meyer wanting to play this game has really nothing to do with his team's ability to make the playoffs, because not playing the game actually helps the Muscles more than playing the game. He just wants his guys to do their jobs and get games in and develop. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen today because of a very rash and premature decision by the umpire. So the fans have not been notified of this decision yet, but the official wave-off was given by the umpires. So we are done for the day. We will keep our stream running for the next few minutes just in case something changes. But as far as we can tell, this game has been canceled, and we are sorry that you will not be able to watch a baseball game this afternoon. So Virch will keep our stream going for a little while longer. But unless something else happens, we are done, and we are sorry that the home schedule has come to an end in this fashion. So good night, everyone. We will be in Lakeland for 6 games starting on Tuesday. The Muscles will need to win 3 of those games to clinch a playoff spot. We will do our best to make it up to you via audio Tuesday through Sunday. Muscles will hope to win 3 games and advance to the postseason, which would be the only way we see baseball on this field again in 2024. That's a wrap on the Muscles broadcast today, and we hope that hopefully the rest of the season goes more smooth than this series did due to weather here this week.
Thanks for listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball, worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented through the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, for the private use of our audience. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast's, its descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.